There are a couple of almost miscellaneous things that the Shulchan Aruch talks about at the end. Some are revert back to the very beginning, but they appear later in the sugya, which is probably why they appear later in Shulchan Aruch. And then one of them is sort of is a fascinating way to sort of end Bishalakum in a very kaliistic way, and for some may be the most relevant question in Bishalakum. So first let's take a look at Seif and Yudbeis, Yudalit and Tezvav. And that comes from a Gemara on Lamed Ches, Amid Beis. Picking up where we had left off, Lamed Ches, Amid Beis, around 15 lines down or so. What? Sure. Out of here, or in the packets, all the same. Lama Ches and Beis. The Gemara begins to talk about dog and beitza. Is there bishul akam on a fish? Is there bishul akam on an egg? What's the shailam? The Gemara, the first word is dog, right near the little letter gimel. Dog maliyah chizki yashari v'yochanan asur. The Gemara is a machlokas amaroim about a salted fish. A salted fish, meaning a salted fish that you then roasted. I roasted, I didn't roast lox, but let's say I have a whole fish, and it's somewhat salted, and then I roast it. So machlok is chizka and Rav Yochan, whether it's mutter or aser. And then, beitza tsuluya, if you have an egg, which was grilled, interesting, they grilled eggs. Rashi explains that the nachri grilled it. Beitza tsuluya should tsula'a akum. So that's a machlokas, whether that is mutter or aser. Is that a problem of bishulakum? So that's a machlokas amaram. Rashi gives an explanation. Rashi gives a different explanation. Rashi gives a fancier explanation of why an egg should be mutter. So Rashi says maybe the egg is mutter because the nachri can't touch it. It's in the shell. The nachri didn't touch it. So that's somehow that's mutter because he didn't touch it. Why should that be mutter? That sounds like maybe that's rooted in this idea we saw earlier. There is a rejected approach in Rishonim that Rashi here perhaps is tapping into. That maybe Bishalakim is because of is rooted in a concern of kashrus of the ingredients. So that's why Rashi says it could be this is because if it's an egg, what could have happened to the egg? They couldn't mix anything into the egg. You take a look in Shulchan Aruch. The way they present it, it's if you dalid beitza. If you have an egg, you pass the egg as a problem. Even if it's ro'i ligama chaya, even if you're able to, you could swallow it raw. I could drink the egg raw. Who drinks raw eggs? No? Anyone in this room? Anyone a chazan? No? Eggnog? Right, lav chazanim will drink raw eggs. Some people do like raw eggs. Once upon a time, it was definitely more common than it is nowadays. Now they're more sensitive to the issues of salmonella. So Shulchan Aruch says, even though you could drink it raw, in Bishla Akum Asura, but still, if the Nachri did go ahead and cook the egg, that is a problem of Bishla Akum. And going back earlier to Sif Yud Beis, Shulchan Aruch says, how about fish? Not just fish that the Nachri salted, which is Mutter, he's learned to Sif Yud Gimel, but dagim ketam shem malachan yisrael o akum. If you have small fish, the nachri salted, or that a Jew salted, harein kemoshen is bashul mixas bishul v'mtzila on akum acher kemotum. We said that we said in Sif Yud Gimel based on the Gemara we just saw that if a nachri salts fish, that's not a problem. Milichas akum is not aser, even if it's followed by a subsequent bishul, that's already mutter, because as a maliach, it was already in and of itself, nechal kemoshu chai. So that's why Mitzalah and Akum Acher came mutter. If a Nachri takes the fish, whether he salted the fish or I salted the fish, if he takes it afterwards, once it's salted, it's Roy L'Achila. If he salts it first and then he grills it, or certainly if I salt it first, then he grills it, that's not a problem. Bishalakum. V'dagim aluchim gedolim, eim necham el aide hadchak. If you have large fish, I guess it sounds like maybe Torah, a difference between herring and tuna fish, perhaps. And herring, people eat all the time. I believe, I could be wrong, but I believe that the herring that people typically eat at Kiddush is not cooked. I could be wrong, but I believe that is just soaked. It's pickled, it's salted, but it's not, I believe it is not cooked. And that works fine. If it's a small fish, the pickling or salting alone can make it Raya L'Achila. Ah, the Nachri decides to take the herring and grill it. He decides to make a stir fry with the herring, gourmet herring dish. That's not an oxymoron, a gourmet herring dish. So that's not a problem, bishlakum, because before the herring went in the pan, before the herring went in the wok, the herring was a dagim katana meluchim, already roi l'achila. But if you have a large fish that you salted, if it just salted, you didn't cook it, dagim katana meluchim gedolim, if you have a big fish that was salted, eim nacham al edat chak. That's only the sort of thing that people would eat if they needed to. B'shazat chak, if you don't have anything else, so you might eat salted, fresh salted tuna. But the tuna you get in a can is cooked, like we talked about the other day. That's cooked in the can. Hold on 1 second. Lafikachim tzla'an akum asurin v'yesh matirim. The way most read the Hemshech HaGemara that we began is that is a problem. And the Ramah goes on to say, V'chein kol davar shenecha chayde etchak. Anything that will be eaten, anything that's eaten raw, but only when it's difficult. U'bishlo akum, the Nachri cooked it afterwards, dino kidagim udom. So this is a chumra in the din that we had in Sif Aleph, that when we talk about nechal kamoshu chay, is one of the two major criteria to qualify for bishlo akum, that it has to be inedible raw. If it was edible raw, so then even though the Nachri cooked it and improved it, he baked the apple, and now it's even better. So that's still a problem of, says if he baked the apple was entirely edible, but now it's gourmet. So that's not a problem, Bishalak, even though he improved it, but it was edible raw. But what we're learning in Sif Yudbeis, and that's what's going on in Sif Yudalit as well with the Beitzim, is that if to be considered nechal chai, it has to really be edible raw, as opposed to nechal al yedei hadchak. So the question is, what does nechal al yedei hadchak mean? If you take a look at Sif Tezvav, you begin to get a little more sense. The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch Sif Tezvav, Shulchan Aruch and Sif Tezvav is picking up on a discussion where as a Bav Lama Chesam and Beis. Tamarim Hamarim Ktas. The Gemara talks about cooked dates. So let's say the Nachri cooked dates. So is that a problem Bishalakum? It's not a problem Bishalakum. So the Gemara says, well, there are dates that are sweet and there are dates which are sour. There are dates which are sweet, which you can eat on their own. If you happen to, in your culture, there's a delicacy of cooked dates, that's very nice, but you could have eaten the dates raw too, so it's not a bishlakim problem. Of course, if they're bitter dates, and you can't eat them without cooking or grilling, let's say the equivalent of eggplants. You eat raw eggplants, incredibly bitter. You have to grill it for a while to get out to remove the bitterness and to bring out the sweetness. So Gemara says, of course that's a problem, bishlakim. A Nachri grills eggplant, of course it's a bishlakim problem. A Nachri grills bitter dates, which you can't eat raw, of course they're probably bishlakim. So the Gemara says, no, the Shaila is if they're in between. Not very bitter, they're very sweet. They serve these benanim, not idis and not ziburis. So that's what gets quoted here in Sif Tezvav, Tamarim Hamarim Ktsas. You have the dates which are a little bit bitter. She'em Nachom Aladeh Adchak. Once again, they're only nechal de'et chak and bishlam akum asurim. But Nachri cooks them, that's what he said. Even though it's not something they absolutely cannot eat, no one in our culture is eating raw meat. That's mamish. That's what the Ramah quoted before in Sifyut Bez. No one's eating raw meat. So raw meat, of course, is a bishlam akum problem. Even this, which you could if you needed to. Nacha de'atchak, but that's not normally eaten raw. That is also a problem of bishulakim. Now the shach has an important comment to make here. Sif kat and yutes. You see the beginning of sif tesvav. You have the little yutes that sends it to the shach over here. Kasava alav vavhei. Alav vavhei is the iser v'heter. It's written by Rabbeinu Yonah. Not Rabbeinu Yonah that you know. The other Rabbeinu Yonah. Not Rabbeinu Yonah, the Sfardi, the Mechutin of the Ramban, who lived in Spain, in Girona, and wrote Shari Tshuva, and wrote on Brachas and Bava Basra. That's Rabbeinu Yonah the Sfardi, is who lived in the 1200s. This is Rabbeinu Yonah the Ashkenazi, who lived in the 1400s, not long before the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban, who wrote a sefer called Iser V'Heter, which covers a lot of Yardaya topics, and gets quoted a lot at the beginning of Yardaya. So the Shachar calls Kasava Alav Bavhe, Kasava Isravheter, Kalal Mem Gimel Din Dalit. Umihu, Hani Agasim Vitapuchim. I assume if he means by Agasim, even Agasim, he means pears and apples. Hakashin. They're tough. Avapisha Rov Achilasan Aidetzliu Bishal. They're mostly eaten, cooked, or baked, or grilled. In Salatan Ubishlam Akumutarim. But still, if a Nachri baked that apple, it's mutter, mikomakom ne'achalan gam kein chayim. Because they are also eaten raw. And then we'll get to the next line in a moment. So what did we just learn from that? Any chiddush, anything strike you? What chiddush do you draw from that line in Rabbeinu Yonah? Yeah?
Even though most are eaten raw.
So how does that, good, how does that fit? How you generalize that? What yisod is he telling me? What nekuda is he telling me? Snow. Yeah. In other words. So what does idea etchak mean? Why isn't this idea etchak? In English, should be a difference of one letter. What's the one letter? It's a C versus W. Right. It's couldn't versus wouldn't, or could versus would. L'chora, what this line of Ben Yonah, the first terrace in Ben Yonah, and Yisrael had to assign us, is that Necha de'etchak doesn't mean wouldn't, it means couldn't. If people do eat it raw, but most of the time like to eat it cooked, that's not a Bishul Akum problem. I think a good example of Bezman HaZeh will be squash. I don't know, or zucchini. Green squash. I don't know how many people here ever eat zucchini. Show of hands. Okay. How many of you eat zucchini grilled or fried? Mashuk is it? How many of you eat zucchini raw? Okay. Yeah. What? Right. So if you go, if you're at an event with a vegetable platter, a higher end vegetable platter, they'll often have a crinkle cut raw zucchini. Tastes perfectly fine. Most people don't eat it. But let me put it this way. Usually, most people who eat zucchini most of the time end up eating it grilled. But it's perfectly tasty raw as well. But it's just, that's not a couldn't, it's a wouldn't. I believe what the first line of the Shach is saying is that Aideh Tchak means that not just we usually end up eating it cooked, but that we would be averse to eating it raw. We would have a hard time eating it raw. If we had no choice, we eat it raw. But if it's just a question, you're not just looking at the way it's commonly served, you're looking at the way that it could be consumed. So that's important for things like squash, as opposed to, I think I mentioned, for things like cranberries, where if you've ever tried, you have to have the taste. If you're someone who likes dark chocolate and dry wine, you might also enjoy raw cranberries. It's a very similar flavor. But the tartness. Most people not just end up having cranberry sauce. Most people, even if they had the opportunity, would absolutely wrinkle their nose. They'd put it in their mouth, they would spit it out. So that's probably already considered only nechal aideh hatchak, which is why poskim traditionally assumed, at least until recently, maybe with other ways of preparing cranberries, it was assumed for many decades that cranberries are an example. Cranberries like tamar mamarim ktsas. Cranberries are like the dag moliach gadol, or the beitza. If I had to, I could eat it. It's not dangerous. And you could swallow it. It's not horrific. eating raw meat, raw steak is probably not even necha de etchak. I am. You had no choice. My had no choice. But im kol zeh necha de etchak, a couldn't rather than a wouldn't, that's already considered to be eino necha chai, and that is a problem of bishalakim. Yeah. Steak tartare, yeah. Steak tartare. So a few things. So number one, here we come to a different issue, which is how you are magdir al-yedei hadchak may have to do with, in other words, how you're magdir al-yedei hadchak versus regular nechal. We're looking at couldn't. We're probably also looking at percentages of couldn't. In other words, what Yehuda said is I believe, correct as well. Necha de etchak means that the vast majority of the majority of the population not only wouldn't, but couldn't bring themselves to eat this food under normal circumstances. But it doesn't mean nobody. So I would say like this, I'll give you another nut for you, right? There are high-end restaurants where they serve something called steak tartare in a couple of different cuisines, which is even less than rare done steak. I don't know if it's absolutely raw or it's very close to raw. It's before Malchav and Drusar. And the truth is, Yesh Omrim, how about sushi? Let me ask you a more common question. How about sushi? Right? How about sushi? After all, people eat raw tuna fish. People eat raw salmon. That's what lots of sushi rolls are full of. And you take a look at the next line, by the way, in the shach. The other terrace that Yisuf Hatter has about the apples. Actually, let's come back to that after it. I forget about that for a moment. So what do you do with, should we say that all tuna fish, it's a big shiloh, big shiloh. This is one of the biggest shilohs in the bishalakim, industrial bishalakim, is can tuna fish require bishal Yisrael? There are some Jewish brands that have bishal Yisrael tuna fish. They're probably $2 a can, more than $1 a can, $2 a can, more than standard OU tuna fish. I'm not holding the details, you gotta look in the Pesach bulletins, but I think there are certain brands of OU tuna fish that are Bishul Yisrael, the OUP runs are Bishul Yisrael. There are some people who buy up like large stocks, I forget which brands it is. I don't know if it's all brands. I think there's certain brands of tuna fish, but the OUP is also Bishul Yisrael. So but they're not, the price is not as high because why? We'll get to that in a moment. But because the price is not high, some people want to chapara in those particular brands of OUP. So you have your Bishul Yisrael, a year's worth of Bishul Yisrael tuna fish. What's the issue of Bishul Yisrael tuna fish? To have dug-in tuna fish versus regular chicken of the sea or bumblebee? So the cost factor is that the tuna, my understanding is, they're catching tuna fish often in the South Pacific. They're not cooking it in a factory in the United States. They're cooking it either on the boats, they're cooking it when they dock, they're cooking it right away. Apparently it's cheaper, that the transportation costs with cans, with added weight, is still cheaper than figuring out how to transport it raw and fresh, uncooked, to closer to where you're going to be selling it. So it's often cooked on site. The question is, if it's being cooked on site, so to send a Jewish, if something is, something is bitten, you need Bishul Yisrael, so that means you need to have Mashkiach there all the time. They send a Mashkiach all the time to Idaho, they're cooking potatoes. So that's a certain degree of expense. It's to fly to have a Mashkiach Tamidi. To have a Mashkiach Tamidi out in the South Pacific, that's a big expense. That's a major expense, and that's going to significantly raise the cost. There is legitimacy to the fact that there's a significant price differential. The question is whether it's necessary. There are a host of arguments to assume that that Bishul Yisrael is not a concern for tuna fish. Chief among them is that canned tuna fish is yet to come across canned tuna fish being served al shulchan malach. In other words, a tuna steak, a grilled tuna steak, would definitely be served at a high-end restaurant or at a formal function. Right? You can usually ask for the fish option. When you're at a wedding, they'll bring you salmon, they'll bring you tuna, they'll be glad to bring you something very classy. They're not going to bring you scoops of tuna salad. Even if that's what you would prefer. I'm a Hamish guy, salmon, tuna fish. Yeah, I'm a shalashudasid. But even if you're a real shalashudasid, they're not going to bring you scoops of tuna fish. Now, that's really the primary argument to assume that canned tuna fish does not require fish. So there are other arguments as well. Rabbi Schefter actually has a lengthy tshuva on this topic that was published in his Sefer Ginas Egos, in the Kashrus Hadag B'Kuf Sa'os. There are a couple of issues. One of the issues he deals with is the Bishul Akum issue, and to that he has multiple responses. The primary one, I believe, is the Ola Shulchan Lachim issue. So more recently, some had argued that maybe there's an additional, so he has, I think, two or three or four Snifim Lachim. So somewhere in the last 10, 15 years, people have suggested maybe you have another Snifim Lachim. Nechachai. People are eating raw tuna fish all the time. Go out for sushi, you get a tuna roll. Go out for sushi, you get salmon. So who says a Nachri can't grill salmon for you? Who says a Nachri can't boil or grill tuna for you? So the problem with that is the following. The problem with that argument, I mean, there are other arguments, as I said, to matir or canned tuna fish without requiring Bishul Yisrael, but the problem with the argument, so we don't need this argument, but to say that it's a nechachai is difficult for the following reason. People who eat sushi like raw tuna. People who eat sushi like raw salmon. That's great. How many people eat sushi? And the question is also a question of granularity. You talk about how many people who live in a particular neighborhood in Manhattan, it could be, maybe it's over 50%. How many people who live in New York State eat sushi? How many people who live in the United States of America eat sushi? I would suspect that of the, what is it, 300, 350 million residents of the United States of America, I would suspect that you don't have 150 million people who are open to eating sushi. I would suspect you might even have 15 million people open to eating sushi. It's worth doing the research. I suspect that it's largely a coastal phenomenon. It's it's a thing in Manhattan. It's a thing in Los Angeles. It might be a thing in certain other urban centers. That's a question of granularity. That's a general question, meta question in halacha. Whenever you're looking at va'oso makom va'oso zman, what does oso makom mean? Oso makom means Upper West Side. Upper West Side, a lot of people eat sushi. This block, people live on between 79th and 80th. That sounds a little bit absurd. And the Li'iduch is not to look at the entire world. To look at Western. Right. So perhaps it could be in Japan. Right. So if you're in Japan and you had a non-Jewish chef who was grilling fish for you, and again the ingredients are kosher and the equipment is kosher, so there it could be that rove. Gotta find out. It could be that rove of the population of Japan is open to eating raw fish. In which case, then taka necha chai. A further shaila which post can deal with, which maybe you'll jump on right now, is even if you don't live in Japan, you don't live in the South, you don't live in the Pacific, but, right, should you follow the place where it's cooked, or should you follow the place where it's being eaten? Not just where it's being eaten, but even b'shas of cooking, it was being cooked adaita to be served elsewhere. They weren't cooking in the factory to serve it locally. They were cooking in the factory to serve it in the United States, to serve it in the West.
They don't know where it's being
served. When they're doing, that's true. That may not be true because it's being, they're probably doing runs for particular companies. Certainly doing it runs for companies that are foreign.
Let's say you have, there are certain foods that are definitely regional things. There's a big difference, even if you're saying it's the United States.
Right, so I think it's easy to make the argument that the South or the North is, that's a muckle. the southern United States, northern United States, that's as large as 20, 30 countries in the rest of the world. Because of the geography of Europe, Europe tends towards the small countries, and North America has tended towards very large countries. It's easy to make the argument, even if you say this is a Georgian food, or this is the state of Georgia, the United States, or say this is a New England food. So it's not hard to make the argument that's a makom. And this food is edible, this is a common recipe in New England, and this particular item is eaten raw in New England, so then it's not hard to make the argument. In New England, that's nefachat. But the question is, once you get finer than that, I don't think sushi is... you told me, let's say, up and down the Northeast Corridor, right? From Boston to Washington, D.C., that section of Highway 95, often known as the Northeast Corridor. That's where the disproportionate amount of business activity in the United States and political activity, that zone, that's a zone. But I would suspect, and you have, how many, tens of millions of people living in that zone, working in that zone, traveling in that zone, that's really sort of like a very significant subculture, and not in a negative sense, but a subculture within the United States, and a region within the United States. So if you told me a row of people in around the Northeast Corridor, around that, you know, this northern half of 95 are eating sushi, but then there's a serious argument to make. If the facts weren't true 5 years ago, you have to look again, because it's talking about Osamaku Mubo, so it's not. It could be that sushi has been increasing in popularity. It could be the discussion post-grad 10 years ago is no longer relevant. Someone could do some Torah Mada research and look at the numbers of how our sushi, how popular sushi. I'm sure the information is readily available with a little bit of a couple minutes of research. And it's Nogei Halacha Maisa. Nogei Halacha Maisa, forget about the cantuna. Nogei Halacha Maisa, and this is going to bring us to our next topic, but we'll stop for questions first. Nogei Halacha Maisa, let's say a Nachri decided to grill some salmon for you. The grilled salmon was in the fridge. It was raw. It was wrapped. It was ready to go. And the Nachri in the house who decided to be helpful and put the salmon up to grill. And grilled the salmon in the oven, took it out, and now it's sitting on the counter. It's all ready. It smells delicious. And you have to figure out, is the salmon tray? And is your oven tray? And is your pan tray? So the question of the pan and the oven is a good question we're going to get to after questions, because that's a seif tazayin. But the question is the salmon itself treif? Right, so if you could demonstrate that sushi is really significantly popular throughout this whole region, then salmon is no longer a problem. But let's close this with what this nekuda, and then we'll go to questions, just to see the end of the shach. The shach has one more argument to make, the end of sif, kat, and yutes, in terms of the apples, the hard apple, the harder apples. What are harder apples? I don't know if he means crab apples, or he means like the equivalent of Granny Smith apples. We eat Granny Smith apples raw all the time. But he says, the harder apples, the harder pears, number one, practically speaking, most people eat them cooked or baked, but people would eat them raw too. They don't eat them baked, but they don't eat them raw, but they could. Necham gam kein chayim. Is number two, he says, maybe we shouldn't look at that subspecies. We should look at the species as a whole. Raw, these hard apples, tapuchim kashim, people tend to eat baked more because it softens them up, makes them more juicy, makes them more succulent. But look at apples, don't look at tapuchim kashim, look at tapuchim. Overall, apples as a whole tend to be eaten raw. So it sounds like those are two independent arguments he's willing to make. So that's an interesting question to think about. Also, in other words, if you have... Now you have to figure out where you draw the line, because maybe you're going to ask, what about Sif Tezvav? Right? The Gemara is machalik between the sweet dates and the sour dates, and then the bitter dates, and the in-between dates. So you have to figure, it's not clear to me where you draw the line. In other words, how narrowly you define a min. So that's a question that has to be... that has to be worked through, but that's definitely an issue. There is a point, that's what the Shaka's point is, there is a point after which we say, look, you can't differentiate between this strain and that strain. You have to look at the min as a whole. Maybe we consider sweet dates and sour dates to be two different minim. But at a certain point, you have to say, this is the same min, and then just look at the min. Give you a question.
Yeah, I believe the reason why Pas Akum only applies for home-baked goods is that sure that it only...
Yeah.
Is because
at least for Ashkenazim.
Okay, right. It's because we're concerned about the same reason, the same thing by Rosh Lakhim.
You want to know how come we don't say the same thing for Rosh Lakhim if it's done in a faraway factory?
That's
a great question. It's a great question. There's a Tosa Rush who sort of addresses that. Tosa Rush was not talking about faraway companies. But the Tosa Rush on Vodazara, I think enough Lamed Vavral, I think Lamed Vavral Lamed Zayin, Tosa Rush does point out that there seems like there's a hierarchy of the foods that are also Mishum Chasnas. We have more chumras, let's say, by Yayin than by Bishol. We have more chumras by Bishol than by Pas. And his argument is that it depends. Chazal dialed up or dialed down the degree of chumra depending on how severe the concern is. So the greatest concern of chasna, you can drink wine with nachrim, that's more of a concern of leading to chasnas, leading to mixed dancing, so to speak, than is bishul. And bishul in turn is more of a concern than pas. Pas akum, okay. I mean, you know, bread alone is not that exciting, right? To have a whole meal with exciting, fancier foods and more attractive foods, that's already more of a social situation. There's more of a concern that will lead to over-socialization. And even that, the bishul, is not as much of a concern as yeinakum. See, he says that's why we have the chazal has the most chamor, most broad category of Easter by yayin, narrower by bishul, and even narrower by pas. So that's why it's clear that we're not make on by pas, we're make on pas palter, baker's bread. We're definitely not make on bishul palter. Or in other words, to go to a restaurant with a nachri chef is definitely a problem. There were some postmen who thought that maybe we've taken it to the next step. Not stam, that's a local commercial outfit, but it's, you know, in Pago Pago, out in the South Pacific. And then mom is so far as I think Moshe Feinstein may discuss that possibility. Maybe Bishul company should be mutter. Then it's beyond just the local palter, but the faraway, faceless, nameless corporation. We have no idea who. You have no interface whatsoever with the employees. The palter, the baker, you meet the baker. But Lamaisa, he's not baking for you. He's baking it for 1,000 customers. You're one of the 1,000 customers. So it's not as much of a concern of chasnas as a next door neighbor. But still, there's some chasnas, some concern of chasnas with the baker. He lives in town. You know his family. You see his family. You know who he is. You meet him every day if you're going to buy bread. That's not to say that's more of a concern of chasnas than Bishul company. Yes, yeah, so some poskim Toma be Mekel. I don't think any Hashkacha organization, I believe that no Hashkacha organizations rely on that alone as a kula. Sometimes they'll be mitzar of that. You already have two or three other arguments, lakels, and say, and anyways, you have this notion of Bishul company. Yeah, it is a good point. It is a good point. Definitely not be the same as Pas, but maybe it could be at least, you know, a lesser version of Pas. Yeah, there.
So it's Yud-Bes.
Yeah.
So does that mean if it was a Yisrael who salted them and then the Jew, a non-Jew who then was a special it, or does he can a non-Jew vote?
That's what he said. Malchin Yisrael O Akum. Whether we're Mekel even if the Nachri does both. Which is interesting, because Lamaisa is surprising, and some posts are unhappy with that. That's why the Vilna Gaon tells you, well, the Rosh says that, but you know, not everyone. Some say, what do you mean? I gave the Nachri a raw, Nachri took a raw fish, he gives it back to me fully cooked. How could that be? That's mutter. But Lamaisa, we say, he did two separate steps. He salted it. Look, if he would take the raw fish and give it back to you fully edible because it's salted, that would be fine. That's if you're gimel. So then, if he did that, and then he subsequently cooked it, that's also mutter. Right? It's a little surprising, but if you look at it as a step by step, so then it should be fine. Yeah, Yasel.
Exactly understand the part where we're sort of sushi about like which people eat it and stuff like that, because, for example, just because people, you know, don't live in the South or not, or, you know, for example, people live on the East Coast, the West Coast are not as many, you know, as much cornbread or flapjack, you know, stuff like that doesn't necessarily mean that you'd be opposed to it.
Right.
I mean, that you still recognize that it's a food.
And it's just not around as much.
Right. On the flip side of that,
correct.
You have people who it's a completely normal food, and you can still be opposed to it just because of the culture. Like, for example, people in India, because of the majority religion, is vegetarian,
Hindu,
would be opposed to eating a hamburger even if they're not actually Buddhist or something like that. So that would be a whole culture that is opposed to eating a hamburger, even though everyone would really think like a hamburger is a normal food. So you have like two separate
Let me clarify. I mean, you're making a good point. Let me clarify. I don't mean to say there happen not to be a lot of, there happen to be a higher per capita rate of sushi restaurants on the coast than in the heartland of the United States. But I mean, that alone, that's probably a wouldn't rather than a couldn't. I mean that I would suspect that far fewer people are open to eating sushi in other parts of the United States. I suspect that the openness to eating sushi is probably a lot higher around New York, L.A., maybe a couple of urban centers. I could be wrong, but I believe that's the case. I think if you surveyed, you know, a cross-section of the United States, most people would be very, not just, I'd love to eat it, they're just, they're the closest sushi restaurant 50 miles away, we like, I don't do raw fish. If that, as that changes, the halacha principles don't change, halacha applications will change, the psak would change. If that changes, then the grilled salmon is not bishlak.
As I was saying, even though it's not so, like, it's not so round or whatever it is, where, like, it's like, confusing why people would do that, people are still not, like, oh, that's, like, even though you're opposed, you really, like, is there anything that people are actually opposed to it, or just, like, oh, that's strange, but I understand how other people
People would not be into eating that. They wouldn't want to eat that. I don't know if they find it repulsive. They wouldn't want to eat that. Offered it, they wouldn't want to eat it. So if most people offered it, wouldn't want to eat it, so then, and it could be the vast majority of people offered it, and of course the United States wouldn't eat it. That's the question. If can I be koveya, you know, Nechal Chai within New York City? Or do I have to look at Nechal Chai within, you know, the Mid-Atlantic? What's my granularity? How small a box can I draw to say that's my makam, that's my zman? So I don't know. It's a question I suppose can deal with. I don't know of any clear maskan on that, but it is an issue that gets raised. Different posts will take different stances on. And again, it can be relevant. So if a Nachri grills salmon for you, so as we were saying, so you gotta make a she'el sacham. Maybe we should consider salmon to nechal chai. Maybe we can save the salmon. And then the question is, if we can't save the salmon, how about the rest of your kitchen? And that is one of the closing topics in Seif Tazayim. Keilu shebishal behem ha'akum lefaneinu. The Nachri cooked, created Bishul Akum in front of us. Devaram Sheish Ben Mishum Bishul Akum. Right? He was cooking something that's Bishul Akum sensitive. It was meat, it was fish, it was eggplant, it was maybe a pasta, eggs. So now what? Now, Lefaneinu presumably means we're not worried about kashrus of ingredients. We know everything, the ingredients were kosher, the kalim were kosher, but they were kosher. But he or she just created the shulakim. So now what? So the Shulchan Aruch presents a machlokas between the Rashba on the one hand, and they quote the name of the Rush and the Ra'ah. They don't quote the Ra'ah, but it is the Ra'ah, I believe. I think I mentioned that the Rashba wrote a very important sefer that shapes the first half of Yeridea. The first half of Yeridea, when the Tur wrote the first half of Yeridea, he built it around the Rashba's Taurus Habayis. If you open up a Taurus Habayis, there's a running commentary on the inside and the outside. In Rashi position, Taurus position. You have Taurus Habayis in the middle by the Rashba, and the inside is the Bedek Habayis, which is written by the Rashba's contemporary, the Ra'ah, of Aaron Halevi, grandson or great-grandson of the Baal Hamar. And they're both Talmidim of the Ramban, they're both Rebbeim of the Ritva. And then on the outside is the Bedek Habayis, or the cracks and the halves. Right, so the Rashba of Taurus Habayis, and the Ra'ah points out all the problems. The Bedek Habayis, here are all the cracks in the house. And then on the outside, in Tosfos position, there's something called the Mishmeras Habayis, protecting the house, defending the Taurus Habayis against the attack of the of the Berak Abayis. Now, who wrote Mishmar Abayis is a good question. Sometimes it's assumed that it's Rajma himself, who was defending himself against Ra, and some assume that it was some later Rishon. But so you never, so sometimes that's a question when you learn Taras Abayis, can you assume that whatever it says in Mishmar Abayis is shot in the Rajma, or that's some other Rishon who was giving, defending the Rajma, made the Rajma himself to know the way? But either way, we know that Taras Abayis is Rajma, and the Berak Abayis is his contemporary, the Ra'ah. And they argue on many things. In Bishul Akum, they have several machloksim which seem to intertwine. Here's the first one. What's the story with Caleb? So the Nachri made scrambled eggs. The Nachri made a Spanish omelet for me. Delicious. And Bishul Akum. I was not involved in turning on the fire. I was not involved in stirring it. It was a surprise. With such the best of intentions. It was a birthday surprise. For the Nachri made for the Jew. A birthday surprise. His favorite type of Spanish omelet. Is I made you, I grilled your steak exactly the way you like. I knew about kashrus. I went into your freezer. See, here's the wrapper, and I did it on your grill. Everything is kashrus lamahadrin. So you have to figure out how to finesse the situation, express your gratitude for the good intentions. At the same time, they put it aside for later, and it either gets donated to a non-kosher food bank, or it gets donated to the circular file. But that steak, unfortunately, the steak is no longer kosher. Unfortunately, the piece of salmon, the eggs, no longer kosher. The fish lakum. The question, do I have to kasher my grill? Do I have to kasher the pan? Do I have to kasher the pot? How about the spoon? We were talking 2 days ago about the idea, and we spoke about this at the beginning also, about tam ke'ikar. The notion that that when you have, typically, you have a piece of tray for meat, you have a piece of tray for fruit, tevel, and not only is the thing itself tray, but if you cook it with other things, it's going to give flavor to other things, and tam keikah. The beans that have the flavor of the tray for meat are also tray. Or I made eggs in the pan that 3 hours earlier were used for ham, so the eggs are also tray because the flavor of the ham goes into the pan, and then 3 hours later emerges into the eggs. So the question is that an issue at Bishul Akum? So often we should have said, sure, no, why not? Treif. Shrichim said, that's the first approach in Shulchan Aruch, that is a Rajba. The Rajba said, Shrichim Hechsher. You got to kasher it. Yeah. The Yesh Omrim, but some say, some say, no, you don't need to kasher. Interesting. Now, even if you do, why should that be so? Why should it be that that you should have to kasher for Bishul Akum? So, you get the beginning of the answer for the next line. Even those who say you do have to kasher it, but there's a kula. Imu kli cheres, magi'ilo shalosh pa'amim v'dayo. If it's if you use the ceramic, usually ceramic cannot be kosher. If you have your favorite mug, you went away to some place, you went on a family trip to Atlanta, and you brought back a mug as a souvenir, obviously a Coke mug or a Home Depot mug, and it was a great mug, and then you accidentally made a trip. So there's no kosher. There's no kosher in a mug. Ceramic is not kosherable. You just have to throw it out. Throw it out or else leave a note in it that's not for use, and you can leave it on the brake front just for decorative purposes. You cannot make it kosher anymore. So that's the story with cheres, with ceramic. Or if you have china dishes, it's often a shiloh. Anyway, to kosher china set from someone who didn't keep kosher. So there sometimes are solutions, but alpipashtas, The baseline is that the cheres cannot be kasher. Shulchan Aruch says, but here, even according to Rashba, you can do a super kashering. Don't just stick it into boiling hot water once, but do it three times vidayo. And that is enough. So why is that enough? So you see there's a long Vilna Gaon who gives you the background, Sifkat and Memalf, he quotes Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi is not talking about Bishul Akum. Yerushalmi talking about Truma Durabbanan. a particular type of Hasid Rabbanon, Yerushalmi has this idea that maybe we could allow, if the cheres, if the ceramic absorbed the flavor of the Truma Rabbanon, kasher three times. Why? The Shulchan Aruch himself gives you the last line in the Haber, gives the explanation. This has no root in Daraisa. In other words, not only is this an Issa Drabbanon, but this is a lower level Issa Drabbanon because we don't see it as an extension of an Issa Daraisa. If you have a type of Dam that's awesome Drabbanon, so then there's the Vilna Gaon, Sifkat Lama Test, quotes multiple Rayas, that there is an issue of Tam Ke Iker on Issa Drabbanon. If something is Treif Mi Drabbanon, we do see it as having a concern of Tam Ke Iker. And you're going to have to kasher the kelim. But this is a lower level Issa Drabbanon. It's not like a chicken cheeseburger, which is a Drabbanon extension of a beef cheeseburger, a Drabbanon extension of Bas B'chal of Daraisa. This is Ein Lo Iker. It's Ein Lo Shorish Min HaTorah. The whole notion is entirely Drabbanon. So that's what the Yerushalmi seems to say, that the whole Issa is, it's not even a Drabbanon extension of a Daraisa. Bishul Akum just starts as a Drabbanon, Yesh Mayayin. So then we should be able to have at least this small kula. And that gives us a begins to give us insight into why the Mekilim would say that you don't have to kasher at all, and that becomes clearer in the Ramah. The Ramah offhand doesn't seem to have anything to do with Shulchan Aruch. Talk about a different case. Often the Ramah is just here because this is the last line in Hilchas Bishul Akum, and here's a topic we haven't gotten to yet, an exceptional case, so Ramah sticks it in. But we'll see that there's more than just that they are neighbors for a reason. Well, it's not only because this is the last chance to say this din, although it's true, it is the last chance to say the following din. Ramah talks about, listen to this unusual case. Let's say, usually you're trying to avoid Bishul Akum. What's one situation where we seek out Bishul Akum? What's the case we would only allow a bay to cook? Shabbos, right? So let's say you have a Shabbos, you have someone who's sick. So let's clarify for 90 seconds. Number one, one of the most important din of law of halacha, pikuach nefesh, is docha almost everything. Not avodah zarah, neither rosh, mitzvah damim, nor during times of religious persecution. But stop, if someone is sick and it's Shabbos, if there's even a suffix sakana, the halacha is absolutely clear. You jump in the car and you do 1,000 nisurim deraisa by driving to the hospital. Whatever it is, if someone's life is at risk or is possibly at risk, suffix sakana fashas is docha melecha Shabbos deraisa. That should be a davar pasha. That's when you have a cholah sheyesh bo sakana. Someone who is potentially... his life is potentially at risk. Let's say he's a chola she'ein bo sakana. Chola. The guy's sick. He has the flu. It's a really bad cold. He's stuck in bed. He's feeling lousy. He can't function normally. He's a chola. No sakana. No one's dying. He'll survive. He'll survive without medication until after Shabbos. But he's sick. He's legitimately sick. Chola she'ein bo sakana. So I am not allowed to violate an Issa D'oraisa for chola she'ein bo sakana. However, I can... for cholish, again, she'ein bo sakana, what I can do is ask a nachri. There is an isser, it's important to review, that Amir la'akum is an isser. Sometimes people think Amir la'akum is the name of the heter. Amir la'akum is the name of an isser. It's forbidden, normally, to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha on Shabbos. That's an important point, number one. Important point, number two, is that there are four or five or six major exceptions. It's an isser drabbanon. Asking a nachri to do malacha on your behalf is an isser drabbanon. So Chazal built in four or five or six major exceptions. One of the major exceptions is the tzorech chola she'ein bo sakana. So if someone is sick, or someone may potentially get sick, not hazard to life, but sick, not able to function normally, bedridden, that sort of thing. So then I'm allowed to ask a nachri. So let's say I'm allowed to ask a nachri to do malach in his bed. If someone has a flu, he really needs to sleep, and the light's on in his room. The light was on a Shabbos clock. So it was going to go off at 10 o'clock. But now he feels horrible. He wants to go to sleep at 8 o'clock. The light's on. So if it's going to be difficult for him to fall asleep and he's legitimately sick, again, no pikuach nefesh, I am absolutely not allowed to turn lights off. But I can ask a nachri to turn light off. No No problem. That's Amir La Akum is Mutter Litzarachola, Shein Bo Sakana. Or, let's say the fellow is really feeling lousy, really sick. He's sick. So he could use a good one. Well, what better than a good hot bowl of Jewish penicillin? Exactly, chicken soup. So we can, I can't, Chas v'Shalom, I can't make chicken soup for him on Shabbos, but I could ask Christopher. I can, maybe, hey, you may use that bowl of chicken soup, not Shabbos afternoon. So, so you can ask Christopher or Christine to make the chicken soup for this chola she'en bo sakana on Shabbos. Now, okay, so that's an issue of Hilchos Shabbos. Again, Amir la'akum is an issue of Rabbanon. It has several exceptions. One of the exceptions is Letzara chola she'en bo sakana. Yes, so what's the next question?
Wait, can I ask a question on that?
If it's directly of understanding, or this is like a what if he?
Does a chola include someone who's bedridden because of injury?
Someone who is not able to function normally is a chola she'en bo sakana. In Hilchos Shabbos, there are two major nafkaminas in that. There may be others also. Two major nafkaminas are Amir la'akum is mutter for chola she'en bo sakana, and refua is mutter for chola she'en bo sakana. Normally, you're not taking medication. If you just have a headache, you've got to man up and get through the day. You can't take something that's specifically meant for sick people, unless your mom is sick. If you're sick, you're really bad. If you're unable to function normally, then you have the right to take all the Advil and Tylenol that you want. So that could either mean that you're sick, diseased, or that you're sick, injured. So if I'm not able to walk around because my knee is in such pain, so then I have the right to, A, I have the right to use refuah b'Shabbos, and B, if there's something, it's time to have a bowl of chicken soup because my because I injured my knee, I'm not sure the chicken, that's not tzara chola. Brisker of quotes from Chaim that by chol sheyesh bo sakana, a massive chiddush. The chol sheyesh bo sakana, like, all of his tzarachim are now like transformed. Very difficult, Chaim. But so chol sheyesh bo sakana, I happen to be I'm on crutches and I happen to watch chicken soup. I'm really hungry, that doesn't, but something that will help my, will speak to my injury, alleviate my, ameliorate my injury. So yeah, so that's, if you can't function normally. Reb Shechter once told me, if you're outside the Erev, and your couple is walking with a little child, and a three-year-old decides that he's not moving. Boom! Sits down the street, he's not moving. So usually the solution is, keep walking, say, no, we all need to go. And you keep calmly walking, and eventually the kid follows. But sometimes the kid is really stubborn. So what do you do, mom? You have a kid like this thing, he's not moving. So Shechter said he thought that the child has a condition called being 3 years old, which is not allowing him to function normally. So he thought that you could ask, you can't carry the kid outside the area, but he said you could ask an usher to carry the kid outside.
Can you take my kid?
Right, now again, yeah, obviously it has to be, you should not allow anyone, Jew or non-Jew, to carry a child unless you know them well and trust them, and your supervisor, you make sure your child is safe. That goes that saying. But he thought that that's considered to be, that should be an extension of Emil Nachal Tzar Chol Shem Mosakam. Okay, coming back here, but now the next question you should be asking, that was pretty what-if-y. The next question you should be asking is, what do we learn? No, the question is that chicken soup. The Nachri made chicken soup for the chola. So hopefully it helped, and now he feels better. The Jewish penicillin, the Bishul Akum Jewish penicillin, ironically, made him feel better. Gevaldik. It didn't make him feel better, whatever it is. It was mutter to ask the Nachri to cook the soup on Shabbos. The question is, and presumably, that means it's mutter for the chola to eat as well. But here the question is, the Ramah says, Akum Shabisha Lachola B'Shabbos. A Nachri cooked for a chola on Shabbos. You have to have the Amir Lanachri background to appreciate the case. But now that that's the case, so now the question is, what do we do with the leftovers? What do you do with the leftovers? Mutter L'motzoi Shabbos Afiru L'bari. The Shabbos is over. You have a beautiful steaming pot of chicken soup. Some of you may have spent one or more summers in an idyllic place where there are fleshig options for Malava Malka. Morsha Kol is not idyllic because there's a fleshig option for Malava Malka, but maybe you've experienced a fleshig Malava Malka. So, or you watch other people eat a plate of chicken parm matzah. So it's hot chicken soup. Mamish, it's fresh chicken soup on Matzah Shabbos. When do you ever have that? The Nachri put up the pot of chicken soup at 3 in the afternoon. Mamish. The chola ate it at 5 o'clock. And 2 hours later, and they come down, and they sit down and have a bowl of fresh chicken soup on a Matzah Shabbos. Is that mutter, or is that mamish treif? It's bishalakam. Chicken soup. Raw chicken is not nechal chai. This is mamish. And chicken soup would definitely be served in a formal context. This is mamish bishalakam. It's a real McCoy. It's bishalakam. So Harry should say, it doesn't sound like a lot of offhand, you'd say, there's not a lot of room to maneuver here. Well, what's the heter? It's mamish. I didn't light the fire. Clearly, that would have been Chilul Shabbos Daraisa. I didn't stir it. That would have been Chilul Shabbos Daraisa. It was absolutely totally done by the Nachri, from beginning to end. And the item was not Nechal Chai, and now it's Olal Shulchan Malachim. It's Mamish Bishal Akum Lamahadrin. And yet, Ramah says, Mutter. Wow, Mutter. Mutter? What's the heter? Forget about the fact that it was done on Shabbos, which already might make you feel a little echoed. Like the Nachri did it for me on Shabbos. Okay. Forget about that. Okay, but it was, you were allowed to ask the Nachri to do it because it was a Tzar Chola. Bishal Akum. Why is it Mutter? So what's Ramah saying? Because there is a hacker. Because there is a hacker. Is a hacker. Oh. And what is he telling in the parentheses? They still be shame the Ran. Shekain cause to be shame our old friend, the Ra'ah. Huh. That's interesting. Our old friend, the Ra'ah. Well, what do you mean? Did it happen? And therefore what? And therefore what? You take a look at first, take a look at the last Beir HaGru on the Simon. Obi Kochavim, Sifkat and Mem Beis, Ken Kasav HaRa'ah, and one word says it all. Uke Shitasa, Techol Oshaya Chasnus, Mutter. If there's no concern of Chasnus, it's not a problem. Ava HaRajba, Chalak Alav. But the Rajba disagrees. And the truth is, what we have here is Lachar probably three or four issues that all revolve around the same issue. The Ra'ah holds that Vilna Gaon points out there's a fundamental machlokas going on here. Is the reason why the Ra'ah is matir, the leftover chicken soup on Matzah Shabbos, is because there's no concern of chasis. Why there's no concern of chasis? Because this is a really unusual case. There's an incredible hacker. There's an incredible hacker. You did a doctor for the chola. As a matter of fact, this is a scenario where we would only allow a non-Jew to do it. So you're definitely being, in terms of the goal, the motivation for the din of Bishal Akum is definitely being satisfied. It was definitely a very strong Havdalah ben Yisrael la'amin. We only allowed a Nachri to do this cooking. Bedavka, we insisted having a Nachri do this cooking. So there definitely was the hacker of differentiating between Yisrael and Nachrim was definitely in play. But formally, it fit into the category of Bishal Akum. It was Nechal Chai, it was Eino Nechal Chai, Olo Shulchan Malachim, the Bishal was done by Yisrael, but the it fits into the Tzuras HaTakana, but it doesn't run afoul of the Tam HaTakana. And that sounds like...
Gancho and Jordan Levitis, please come to my office.
And that's a major machlokas, Rajba and Ra'ah, is when Chazal made the Gzer Drabanan of Bishal Akum, essentially, did they make it as a low plug or not? The Rajba seems to assume that, of course, the rationale for Bishal Akum, the reason why Chazal, what motivated Chazal to create the Din Drabanan Bishal Akum was a concern of Chasnas. And that may have motivated the way they set up the basic requirements. Once it's set up, The Din Drabanan operates independent of the Tam HaTakana. That's why the Rajba says in going back to let's start here. That's why the Rajba says in what we saw in Shulchan Aruch Sif Tezayin about the Blios. I had a pan that the Nachri made salmon in. The salmon was Bishal Akum and threw the salmon out. And now we cleaned up the pan, we didn't kosher it, and now I made scrambled eggs. Or I asked, do I need to kosher it? So the Rajba says, sure. What do you mean? Bishal Akum is also a drabanan. It's machalas asuris, we drabanan. It's a chafta shalisir, we drabanan. Treif. Whatever reason Chazal made it, but Lamaisa Bishal Akam is treif. Treif is treif. You made treif food in the pen, you got a kasher, or else the treif and blias are going to infect the next kosher food you make in the pen. The Ra'ah says no, no need for kasher. You know why? Because you can create a social connection through.
Again, Jordan Lovett, if you're on Getro, please come to my office. If you're here, that's great.
You can create a social connection, and perhaps a concerning social connection, over a piece of salmon steak. You're not going to create social connection over the flavor of salmon that's absorbed into this pan. There's no concern of chasas on blias. Concern of chasas on a piece of food. So the Rashba who said, yeah, but it's a low plug. The way the din functions independent of the tam. So they maisa, for whatever reason they made this din, it's treif. Tom Ke'ikr. The Ra'ah says, no, we still keep our eye in ongoing fashion on the Tama Isser. And if the Tama Isser doesn't apply, then the Isser doesn't apply. That's why, number one, the Ra'ah said, the Rajma, the Ra'ah argue whether Blios of Bishalak are a problem, whether there's a concern of Tom Ke'ikr. Number two, it takes us back earlier to what we discussed in the Ramah on our last snow day about whether adding to the fire and the esh me esh and the throwing in the kissim, the Ramah's kulas, right, are also driven by that same consideration. In terms of a legal halachic definition of bishul akum, the bishul was done by the akum. But I did a hecker, the same term, I did a hecker, which will mitigate the concern, the tama takana b'chash chasnus. So that's the same achlokas. It's just whatever the reason is, b'lamaisa the din is bishul akum is aser lo plug. Or do we say no? The tam is the be careful with terminology. The reason tam in the sense of the reason for the concern, the chashash chasnus is still alive. If there's no chashash chasnus, then it's mutter. So that's the issue by the tam kicker. That's the issue by the. That's the issue by the Eish Me'esh and the Hashlachas Kisim. We skipped Siv Dalet. Siv Dalet is a debate whether if you have household help, ongoing long-term household help, maybe we should say there's less of a concern of chasnas. One could argue there's more of a concern of chasnas, but some Rishonim argue less of a concern of chasnas. That's the machlokas, should you say, I could be mekel, is the base Yisrael. The Rashba, as the Shulchan Aruch mentions, says that's asur even b'dyevet. Rashba l'shitaso. That whereas Ra'ah is open to considering, maybe we can be mekel, because Ra'ah thinks that Bishul Akum is not a low plug. It's not, Ra'ah thinks Bishul Akum is not a low plug, as comes up nafkina number one, in terms of Tom Kicker and Blias. Nafkina number two, in terms of lighting the fire, or even less than that, Hashlochas Kisim, just doing a formalized, symbolic matchstick thrown into the fire, but it's a hecker. Number three, in terms of Shvachos Shalamus of Dalad. And finally, number four, the Ramah, right here, with which we close Bishul Akum, quotes, not surprisingly, Ramah before also held the hecker is enough, by Hashlochas Kisim. Ramah here, quotes, ends the sim by quoting the Ra'ah. That is absolutely Bishul Akum. What do you mean? It's the bishul was totally done by the shul. The eish was totally done by the nachri. The eish was totally done by the nachri. The food is nachal is ein nachal kol shulchai. It's all hashol chumalachim. But because it was an unusual, quirky situation, and not only that, but the quirkiness of the situation actually, in an ironic way, highlighted havdalah ben yisrael la'amin. Differently than the chazal usually do it. Usually we insist that the Jew has to cook it. Here we insist a dafka non-Jew has to cook it. The Ra'ah says, it's Bishul Nachri, but the Ra'ah holds Bishul Nachri is not a low plug. Again, the four nafkinas were Blias, Tam Keker, Reshuk Nar, Sifta Zayin. Number two was the hecker of Eish Me Eish, Rashlachas Kisim. And that was Ramah in Sif Zayin. Number three was a reference to Siv Dalad about how should we be make on a household help, where it's technically a Bishul Akum, but less of a concern of the chasas. And that's the machlokas Rashba Ra'ah, once again, whether Asir B'dyev or not. And finally, over here, as the Vilna Gaon himself points out explicitly, that this is Rashba Ra'ah L'shitasam, this question of a Bishul Akum on Shabbos. Mishal Akam on Shabbos. One last time. Blios, Tom Kaker, and as the Kalim, Yefta Kasha Kalim. Can you rely on a symbolic involvement in the fire? Hashlach has kissim or Eish Me'esh. Ramon Siv Zayin. Siv Dalid, can you be makerlis bidyeved on household help? Should you say, because maybe with the household help there's less of a concern of a chasnas. Someone who's working for me maybe is different. That's a discussion, Siv Dalid. And finally, Ramon Tez Zayin about Bishal Akam on Shabbos. Bishal Akam, the Tzor Chol Hashem Bo Sakana. It's not a violation. If Chol Hashem Bo Sakana is not a violation of Mir Lanachri, and maybe that should also generate this unique hula that we would not be a concern of Bishal Akam. Yeah, halacha l'maisa, we do generally expect you to kasher the kalim, but as the Shach points out in Sifchav Aleph, we might be makel if you use the kalim, we might be machmer, you ought to kasher the kalim l'chadchila, but we wouldn't throw out the food, that you know, if you didn't realize until later, put the piece, and now you realize, 1 second, this pan was used this morning for Bishal Akam, I raised it this afternoon for food. So the Shach and Sivkan Chafav seems to say, you don't have to throw out the food, they would expect you to kasher it, although, as we said, there may be certain minor kulas in the kashering. If it's the Shalosh comes up, you should definitely make a She'elas Chacham. I'm glad to take questions. Keith?
Isn't Sifkibul also possible after Mina? Because... why should there be any problem with Bishal Akam?
Amazing! Akiva Cooper. Gewaltig. Gewaltig. There's so many names we could call you now. Because the Mati Yonason asked this question, the Gilly Masha asked this question. I don't know if we should call you Yoni Cooper, Shlomo Cooper.
Okay.
Let's call you Akiva. But you have a several, and then Shlomo Rishomri actually, the Beis Oliver starts talking about this. 1 second. If you're telling me there's no problem with Tom Kicker, what was going on with the pizza with eggplant topping? In Siv Gimel, so the Beis Yosef thinks this may either Siv Gimel is assuming like the first Shita in Siv Tezayin that Tom Kicker is a problem. Remember we said there you have chunks of not that everything's blended pureed. You have chunks of eggplant together with the pizza. Pizza is not a Bishal Akam problem, but the eggplant is, and then the eggplant turns around and makes the pizza trafe as well. So either when we said that Nivla Bapas. That may have been an argument, that may have been based on the assumption like the Rajba, or the other approach is, there it's different, because if you have a piece of trefa eggplant baking on top of a pizza, it's not just a question of the flavors getting absorbed, tom ke iker, into the dough, into the cheese, there's going to be actual residue, the actual eggplant juice sitting on top of the food. It's not just if I have a pan. If I made Bishal Akam salmon in a pan, then we scrub the pan clean, and then I make scrambled eggs in the pan. So there's no actual salmon residue in the pan, in the eggs. What there is the flavor went into the pan, then came back out. But if I made salmon in a pan and I didn't clean out the pan, and I made eggs straight in the dirty pan, it's not just a question of the bleus in the pan. There's actually salmon juice floating around mixed in. So that's more of a concern. So that's the two ways of looking at Sif Gimel in light of Sif Tezayin. Again, either to say, in the Hanami, Sif Gimel was assuming that Tom Kicker is a problem like the Rajba, or Sif Gimel is a more severe case in Sif Tezayin. Maybe the Rav will also agree that I can't eat the pizza because there's eggplant juice. Yeah, if I scrape off the top, I keep the bottom.
So
if you're hearing about, why do I care if there's a shimon that are still on top of the, you're not eating the shimon, you're eating it for the pizza. I think even Ra would agree that if you have a very thin slice of a Bishal Akam food, that's the Bishal Akam problem. You have to say, well, no one's going to create a friendship over a very small piece. Even for the Ra, low plug is a matter of, it's out of spectrum. And even the Ra is going to agree. There have to be certain, basic guidelines. Yeah.
Isn't the whole problem with taste because there is residue? Like, isn't that what taste is? If you're not going to be tasting it if there isn't some of it in there. I thought the problem was that some of the food, even though it's not visible, is in the pot and is then coming
correct.
Back.
Yeah,
into the
correct.
Food.
Here there's more than separate. Just invisibly blended in. Here's actually going to be a layer of it sitting on the surface. Sitting on its own.
So even if you scrape it off, you're still going to be, eggplant, just as much eggplant taste in a piece of pizza that you cut off the top, whatever it is, that you have in your hand.
Right, and according to the fact is, eggplant flavor in the bread is fine. But if they actually chunks, or the eggplant goo is actually seen there at the end, not blended in as a layer on top, which it will be, that's more of a problem. In a chanami, according to Ra'ah, if you scrape off the top.
So if you taste the eggplant, doesn't that mean that there's some eggplant residue there, even if you can't see it?
Yes, that's Tom Ka'iker.
So then how can you say that?
No, but the difference between it being a separate layer of stuff that's not the tarobes versus the eggplant material got blended into everything else as a tarovas, and then it's only also if you can say Tom Kicker. Let's say I have kosher ice cream with trefa sprinkles. The sprinkles are made with lard. Mama's trefa sprinkles. Right? So if you have sprinkles on your ice cream, you're not going to say, now it could be that there are 60 times as much ice cream as sprinkles. Probably is, unless you really have a lot of sprinkles. Some people have a lot of sprinkles. Okay, do you have a hangout? You went light on the sprinkles. A couple of sprinkles on top of a scoop of ice cream. And clearly, more than 60 times as much ice cream as sprinkles. But you don't say, therefore, that the sprinkles are batel, because the sprinkles aren't ma'urav. They're sitting there on their own. In the back, you can see there's a piece of sprinkle. It's small, but it's identifiable and separable. That's not even b'tarovet. That's be'en. It happens to be sitting on top of something else. That's what we have. That's what some would say. The eggplant pizza, it actually is eggplant, not just the chunks, but even like the goo is sitting on its own on top of the pizza. If I scrape off the top layer, this eggplant flavor that got blended, that got absorbed by the bread, that's just Tom. And that's for something where normally I would say Tom Kaker, but with Bishalakum, some say Tom Kaker is not a problem. If I made bread, if the Nachri was grilling salmon in the oven, and I, kosher salmon, but bishalakam, and I put bread in the oven at the same time, and the bread absorbed the flavor of the salmon. So that might be a machlokas Rashi Ra'ah, whether that bread is mutter or asur. It absorbed the flavor, but there's no actual chunks of salmon in it. But if I mushed salmon on top of the bread, so then already, you have to, even the Ra'ah would agree, you have to make sure you remove every single piece of actual salmon. The salmon itself is actually bishalakam. Okay, we head down to